We stand today, the penultimate day of the formal Zman, at the doorstep of the summer. And it's vital that we recognize that the summer is indeed a critical component of our religious growth. If, and this is a big if it is utilized properly. Parshas Bahar opens with the mitzvah of Shemitah. Many Rishonim Mefarshim offer possible rationales for this mitzvah. The Rambam, in his Mer Nevuchim, argues that the reason the Torah commands us not to work the land during the seventh year is so that the land can emerge renewed, reinvigorated for another 6 years of productivity. So too, the summer, if utilized properly, can allow one to emerge renewed, refreshed, ready for a productive Elul Zman and Charev Zman. But in order to make the summer into the catalyst of growth rather than an obstacle to growth requires much thought, much preparation, many hachanos on our part. And the time for those hachanos is right now. Parshas Emor begins with a double lashon. Emor el hakohanim v'amarta aleihem. Says Rashi, v'hazhir gedolim al haketanim. To warn the adults regarding the children. Even though for the most part our obligations of chinuch are only midrabbanon, here the Torah commands us midairaisa to see to it that kohanim ketanim do not come in contact with the mace. However, the Noam Elimelech suggests that perhaps Rashi is hinting to us another very important lesson. And that is that in life there are times of gedolim, times of tremendous, intense religious inspiration. And then there are times of ketanim, where one is less inspired. V'hazhir gedolim al haketanim exhorts us that during the gedolim, when things are easy, when things are convenient, to plan for the times of ketanim, when things are more difficult, perhaps even confused. Therefore, one should plan for the summer not once one has already become ensconced within it, but while one is still here in the yeshiva, where things are easy, where things are convenient, where things are inspired. I would like to suggest one or two areas where perhaps we can focus our hachanos for the summer. Parshas Bahar concludes with a description of a scenario where Yisrael is sold as an Eved to an Akum. And that description is immediately followed by the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, the mitzvah of Shmiras Shabbos and Shmiras HaMikdash. And Rashi comments that these mitzvahs, these Yisurim, are repeated here for the sole benefit of that Yisrael who was sold as an Eved to an Akum. Says Rashi, Shalo Yomar so that he should not say, Hayo v'rebi megala arayos af ani kamoisoi. Since my master is being megala arayos, so will I. Hayo v'rebi oivet avodah zarah. Since my master is worshipping avodah zarah, af ani kamoisoi, I will do the same. Hayo v'rebi mechalo shabbosois af ani kamoisoi. And the Chasam Sofer observes that we see from here the extent to which negative influences in our environment can impact upon a person. To the degree where one would contemplate being Megala Orayos, being Oved Avodah Zarah, and being Mechalel Shabbos. So perhaps the first item we need to consider in planning for the summer is what kind of environment will we be in? In Parshas Pinchas, after Pinchas successfully halts the Magefa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to count Klal Yisrael and their respective mishpachos for the purpose of dividing Eretz Yisrael. And in the midst of counting Shevet Gad, the Torah enumerates the Ozni Mishpachas HaOzni. However, earlier in Parshas Vayigash, when the Shvatim are counted along with the Mishpachas, there is no Mishpachas HaOzni. But there is there a Mishpacha which does not appear in Parshas Pinchas. That is the Mishpacha of Etzbon. Says Rashi, Oymer ani, it seems to me that the Mishpacha of Ozni in Parshas Pinchas, Zu Mishpachas Etzbon. That is the same family of Etzbon. The names are interchangeable. But then Rashi throws up his hands. Ve'eni yodea, Lamo lo nikreis Mishpachtoi al shmoi. Why does the Torah change the name? He doesn't know. And the Shlach HaKadosh explains why these two names are interchangeable based on a Gemara in Maseches Ksubos. The Gemara comments on a pasuk in Parshas Kisetzei, V'yoseid tihi yalecha al azeinecha. In one's cache of weapons, he should have a yoseid, a peg. Says the Gemara, al tikrei azeinecha, Ela oiznecha. Do not read it, your cache of weapons, but rather your ears. Says the Gemara, why are a person's fingers created to look like pegs? Because if a person hears a dover she'inu megune, a dover megune, he should put his fingers in his ears. That is v'yoseid tihi yelecha al oiznecha. You should have pegs in your ears. Says the Shlach, that's why these two names are interchangeable, Ozni and Etzboin. Because sometimes one's Etzboin, his Etzboin, are supposed to be in his ears. Adds the Ishbitzer in his Sefer Mehashiloyach, that in Parashas Vayigash, where Klal Yisrael is on their way down to Mitzrayim, which was a hostile religious environment, they were afraid of the negative, harmful aspects of Egyptian culture. They felt it necessary to put their fingers in their ears. And the name of the family was Etzbon. But in Parashas Pinchas, Klal Yisrael is now poised to enter Eretz Yisrael, a nurturing religious environment. Now they felt safe to remove their fingers from their ears. It seems from the Gemara that if during the summer one finds oneself, for whatever reason, in a hostile religious environment, one should put one's fingers in one's ears, not literally, but figuratively, to do their best to ignore harmful aspects of the environment that's swirling around him. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the Igros Moshe to a man who has to take the subway every day to work. The subway is crowded. And even if one, we all know this firsthand, but even if one braces oneself properly on the subway, because it makes abrupt, goes abruptly, stops abruptly, sometimes you fly into somebody else, or bump into somebody else. And this fellow found that every now and then he would bump into a woman on the train, on the subway. So he asked Moshe, is it mutter for him to take the subway to work, knowing in advance that he might bump into a woman on the subway? So Rav Moshe answers that it's mutter, for reasons that are beyond the scope of our discussion now. And then he tells him, but you should try and ignore it. Put your fingers in your ears. Do your best to ignore it. The same should be true if one, for whatever reason, during the summer has to be in an environment where people are not dressed appropriately. Should be mutter. Do your best to ignore it. What's fascinating is that in the tshuva that immediately precedes that tshuva, Rav Moshe was asked by a person who was planning their vacation, and they were planning on going somewhere where people dress exceedingly inappropriately. And there Rav Moshe does not say, it's mutter, but you should try and ignore it. He recommends that they find a different destination spot for their vacation. Why? What's the difference? And the difference is obvious. A person must control their environment to the extent that they can. If one has the luxury to be in a nurturing religious environment, or at least one that's not hostile, why not? Why should you go there? And if one, for whatever reason, has to be in an environment which is more hostile, more challenging, he should do his best, as the Gemara says, put his fingers in his ears, figuratively, to ignore the negative influences of that environment. That's the first item that we need to consider when preparing for the summer. What environment will we be in, and how will we deal with it? How will we react? A second item that deserves our attention is that of chevra. Will we have chaverim with us? And who will they be? The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos tells us that one time a potential candidate for Geirus appeared before Shammai. And he had a very peculiar request. Girani, he said, I'm prepared to convert al menashe telamdeini kol haTorah kula al regel achas, on the condition that you teach me the entirety of Torah while I stand on one foot. As we know, Shammai took the potential ger and threw him by Amas HaBinyan towards the cornerstone of the building. Didn't go that well. So he went across the street to the Beis Medrash of Hillel, and again, the same strange request, Girani o Menashe telamdeini kol haTorah kula al regel achas. But Hillel had a different reaction. Hillel responds, "My desani loch lechavercha loisaved, that which you detest, don't do to your friend either." Basically, v'ahavta d'reacha kamecha. Zu kol haTorah kula. This is the entirety of the essence of Torah. Idach perusha. The rest is just details. Zil gemor. Go and learn. And there are a number of things in this gemara which we do not understand. We do not understand the nature of the strange request of the ger, to learn kol haTorah kula regel achas. What's that all about? We do not understand Shammai's drastic response, throwing him ba'amas habinyan. We do not understand how Hillel could say that v'ahavta the re'acha. Why Hillel said that v'ahavta the re'acha kamecha, represents the essence of the entirety of Torah. And the Sfas-Emes suggests that the request of the Ger was the following. He wanted to be Jewish, but he did not want the ups and downs of religious life, aliyos and yeridos, represented by the person who changes, shifts his weight from one foot to the other. He wanted consistency. So Shammai took him and threw him by Amas Habini. He said, look, how do you think buildings are built? First there's demolition, then there's construction. A person only grows through the vicissitudes of life. But Hillel had a different reaction. If you want consistency in your Avodas Hashem, attach yourself to good chaverim. V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. Because when you have a low, they will pick you up. It's a similar Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara says that those who participated in the Simchas Beis HaShoyeva for 7 days, bread, shelo ra'inu sheina beinenu, that their eyes saw no sleep for all 7 days. Yes, the Gemara. Ain't it's not possible. Person can't go more than 3 days without sleep. Answers the Gemara. What they meant to say is, lo ta'amnu tam sheina. We didn't get the geshmak of sleep. Because when they were tired, hayu menamni akatve da'adodi, they would rest on the shoulders of their friends. The Yid HaKadosh, the Talmud of the Chayitz of Lublin, asks, so they did sleep. They said they didn't sleep. That was the whole claim to fame. But they did sleep. Answers the Yid HaKadosh, that's not what the Gemara is referring to. The Gemara means, when they said they didn't sleep for all 7 days, they didn't have a lull in their Avedas Hashem. Yes, it's not possible. 7 days of constant growth, constant inspiration, it's impossible. Hashayach. Answers the Gemara, it is possible. You know how? Kishahayu menamne hayu akatve da'adadi. When they slept, it was on their friend's shoulder. When they had a lull, their friends picked them up and carried them further. Chevra, chaverim is critical for continued success in Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Naftali of Rupchitz once commented that he understood the value of chaverim when he was very young. Because when he was learning the Aleph Beis, the Malamed told him that there's something very unique about the letter Yud. Lamed said, if you have two yuds together, that's Hashem Hashem. It doesn't exist by any of the other letters. And they used to practice reading psukim in the Siddur. And when they got to the end of the pasuk, as we all know, which is singled by two dots, Rav Naftali read that as Hashem Hashem. So Lamed screamed at him. He said, what are you doing? It's not Hashem Hashem. So he said, you told me if there's two yuds together, it's Hashem Hashem. If we use our imagination a little bit, two dots can look like two yuds. So the Rebbe told him, he said, no, if the two yuds are next to each other, that's Hashem Hashem. If the two yuds are one on top of another, that's the end of the pasuk. Said Reb Naftali, a drop of Yiddish, that two yidden together, when they recognize that they need one another, that's a recipe for Kedusha, for the Shem Hashem. But if each one thinks they can go it alone, they're self-sufficient, they don't need the Chaverim, they're one on top of the other. So said Reb Naftali, that's the end of the Pasuk. Torah stops, Kedusha stops. Chevra and Chaverim are critical, particularly in the summertime. We say in the Yitzris of Sukkos, "Demekayim in mitzvah sukkah bebiyoseh v'yitziyoseh." We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to our tefillos because we have fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah by entering into the sukkah and by leaving the sukkah. Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz asks in his drasos Yaros Dvash that we understand very well how one fulfills the mitzvah of sukkah by entering into the sukkah. But how does one fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah by leaving the sukkah? And Bionitzin Eibshitz explains, because when one is in the sukkah, he's sitting in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's growing, he's developing, he's maturing in his Avedas Hashem. And the nature of the mitzvah of leaving the sukkah is a reflection of our ability to transfer that growth and that development to our lives outside of the sukkah. So as we, some of us, embark upon the summer, it behooves all of us to make hachanas, to consider our environment, to consider who our chaverim will be, and make other requisite hachanas and preparations. And if we do so, Emir to Hashem, we will be able to take the Torah, the Hashkafa, the Kedusha that we have imbibed here in the yeshiva with us during the summer, and we will emerge from the summer renewed, refreshed, and rededicated to Limud HaTorah and to Avodas Hashem.